If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time on a Wednesday to look back on a huge Tuesday evening in basketball in the association. A 7-game slate, but most importantly, a reunion in Los Angeles between Luka Doncic and his former team, the Dallas Mavericks. AD there as well, returning to LA, met by a lot of applause from the Los Angeles crowd, but of course not in action. How did it go for Luka and the Lakers against the Mavs? We'll break all of that down here in the opening hour. Big Tuesday night in college basketball. A ton of ranked teams in action and some upsets around the nation as well. And Donnie, Combine week, which you have been waiting for as you are looking at your big board, breaking down prospects, excited to see guys run in shorts on the turf. But it's not even about the prospects right now. It's the NFL convening in one location and so many sound bites in storylines early in this offseason around the National Football League to look at on this Wednesday.
Some organizations have solid game plans there. Some organizations will continue to be the laughingstock of football. We get down to all the basics, but you're right. What is today? Wednesday? So I got to wait. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All right. Sunday by Monday, we'll be back to normal here, talking about conference tournaments here and having the combine in our rear view mirror. But last night, you're right. If you're taking a look at that, you know, NCAA tournament coming up, the one line here, somebody might have got impacted yesterday and saying, you know what? Maybe you can't just be on the one line anymore, Florida Gators.
You got to make sure you win your games, not just to get into the tournament, but where your seed line in the big dance is going to be. But Donnie, we start in Los Angeles for his first game as a Laker against the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic balled out at home. The Lakers get an 8-point win, low scoring affair, 107-99. But the true highlight, a triple-double for Luka Doncic in his fifth game in the purple and gold, his first triple-double, 19 points, 15 boards, and 12 dimes. And the Lakers knock off the Mavs as Luka gets some revenge against Dallas.
Yeah, my guy still can't shoot the three-point shot. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, can he get the 50 yesterday? He doesn't even get the 20, but he does get the triple-double. He does get the victory. But more importantly here, from a Dallas perspective and a Lakers perspective, Luka goes, whoo, glad that one's over. Let's play some basketball. Yep.
We'll see more from Luka Doncic and his reaction. And just that's a hilarious image of Mark Cuban and Shams Charania right there. Mark Cuban, no longer the majority owner. I think he's happy for Luka Doncic succeeding in L.A. Not sure why Nico Harrison made the deal that he did, but the Mavs GM in attendance last night inside the Crypto.com arena as well. A triple-double for Luka Doncic. LeBron James, the leading scorer for L.A. And the Lakers playing good basketball at this moment. We'll break it all down. The context of what it means around the Western Conference standings and other highlights from a Tuesday evening slate around the association. But let's get to those upsets in college basketball. In Athens, Georgia taking on the number 3 team in the nation in Florida. Mike White, UGA's head coach now for a third season against his former school that he used to coach. In Georgia, on the wrong side of the bubble at the moment. Bowman trying to seize a gigantic opportunity at home against the Gators. And UGA does just that. They pull off the outright upset, 88-83, winning outright as a 6.5-point home underdog for those Dogs. But Donnie, not as crystal clear as just an outright upset for Georgia. They had a 26-point lead, only for Florida to storm all the way back and take a lead in the final minute of regulation. UGA, though, does hold on at the bitter end for a huge upset and a huge marquee victory on their March resume.
Yeah, crazy game all the way through, but I think the most stunning was how the game started off. It looked like Georgia going to be a runaway by 25, 35, or 40 points at that point. And credit Florida for coming back, because still, it is hard to win on the road in the toughest conference in college basketball, but you can't bury yourself that early and expect to have enough energy left in the tank to close it out. But also, you got to give some credit to the Georgia Bulldogs. You could easily be deflated once you did not have the lead anymore, and they stood strong in that last minute here. Georgia with the victory, 17-11 on the season. Could they make a run in the SEC tournament here to get in?
All 11 losses in quad one play. So they haven't had a bad loss this year. They just need to stack up some more. By the way, Donnie, did you see who hit the big shot for the Bulldogs last night?
No.
Blue Kane. Take a look at Blue Kane. I think you will enjoy what that young man brings to the table. Huge NFL news in Indianapolis yesterday during Combine Week. As we have shared, it's not so much about the workouts at times or even the prospects looking to take that leap to the next level. It's everybody, head coaches, GM, front office execs, all in the same building. And Duke Tobin, who is that managing operator for the Cincinnati Bengals, saying, don't worry. We've got a plan. We're going to sign Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Trey Hendrickson. In fact, we're about to make Ja'Marr Chase the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Do you take Cincy at their word?
Love the talk that we're getting now, but as you saw, there are two sides to every story. And late last night, little T. Higgins tweet that just had a blue cap on there of responding to what Tobin was saying as we're all going to get paid and we're not going to disrespect anybody. Get ready for the disrespect where Cincinnati can play that ace card, Ben, and say, you know what? We tried. We couldn't sign any of them. And let's make some money.
The future might be uncertain for Travis Kelce in KC from Kelce himself. GM, though, Brett Veach of the Chiefs says, hey, we expect Travis back and fired up to play football in 2025.
Yeah, maybe give him a little pep talk here because he hasn't sent his papers into the NFL or let the Chiefs know he's going to retire. So, yeah, the expectations are my guy's under contract. We've got a good football team. Let's see him show up. We'll give him some time to think about it. But the expectations are he's coming back, which probably should have been the right expectations, even though for me, I'm like, you know what? I'd have hung him up, man. I got a nice amount of money coming to me for the rest of my career, and away I go.
Still expect Travis Kelce to play in 2025. Will Myles Garrett be playing for the Cleveland Browns next season? He has requested a trade, did so during Super Bowl week, but Browns GM Andrew Berry pretty much remaining steadfast in what he has said. We're not dealing Myles Garrett. We'll see who wins out.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one because they take in their same state here, the approach of the team down south, which is Cincinnati. Hey, you want to trade? We'll sit you out and we won't pay and we'll all win at the gate at that point. Not the case. By the time the Browns are going to be in contention once again for a Super Bowl, Myles Garrett will be insignificant in the NFL. Make the trade now. Put two first-round picks or whatever in your back pocket. Rebuild that football team. It just makes football sense to do that.
Andrew Berry, you were a part of one of the worst contracts the sports world has ever seen. Recoup some of the draft capital that you gave away for Deshaun Watson in trading Myles Garrett. I think that should be the plan in the land this offseason. The top target in Buffalo this past year for Josh Allen, Khalil Shakir, gets a nice payday, a four-year, $60.2 million extension to remain with the Bills this season and beyond.
Yeah, good move here for the Buffalo Bills. That's obviously the number one target right now for Josh Allen. Keep him happy, and he deserved that contract. Nobody looked at that holy overpay like, no, he's the number one right now in Buffalo, and rightfully so.
A career year this year, 821 receiving yards, the most, 76 receptions, by far the most, 4 touchdowns, the most in his 3 years in the NFL, all with Buffalo. in one of the greats to ever do it in basketball. Diana Taurasi officially confirming yesterday she is retiring. A three-time WNBA champion, a three-time NCAA champion at Connecticut, and a six-time Olympic gold medalist, the most ever in the sport of basketball in the Olympic Games. Diana Taurasi is hanging them up.
I thought she retired years ago, but she played so long that I guess maybe I was wrong at this point. So congratulations, Diana Taurasi. Like Ric Flair, how many times are you going to come back and make comebacks? I don't know. Great, great career.
I don't think she ever did retire. 42 years old, though, the WNBA's all-time leading scorer, the only player in W history that surpassed the 10,000-point mark. Diana, we appreciate you. Even if right side does it. More around the association. Luka's first game against the Mavs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A seven-game slate around the NBA on a Tuesday night, but of course none bigger than what we saw in Los Angeles. A game that had been circled since trade deadline week in the association. The first matchup for Luka Doncic, now a Los Angeles Laker, against his former team, the Dallas Mavericks. In Los Angeles last night, a star-studded affair. Anybody... that was anybody in attendance, including Mavs GM Nico Harrison. And Luka Doncic gets the last laugh as of right now. A triple-double, his first in his fifth game in the purple and gold, and the Lakers get a victory at home. 107-99, the Lakers get a win. Dallas does cover as a 9-point road underdog. A total of 231 stays well under, but really, DRS, the story, the Luka Doncic triple-double. 19 points, 15 boards, 12 dimes, a little bit of everything last night against his former team. Not all that efficient scoring and from the floor, but a triple-double and a Lakers win. Luka will take that every time.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the entire game, but sort of saw from the tip-off, you're just trying to check in the scores of, oh, Luka might be on one tonight. Some piling up the points in the first quarter. Didn't materialize for the rest of the game, but he was everywhere. Rebounds and assists. You know, points gets to 19. Most people, what do we have him around? That 30.5, 31.5 type range. So he was well below that, but the ultimate victory was what you're supposed to get, and that's what Luka did. And also understanding how tough it is sometimes to be that emotional type game and what you're going to get out of your performance. Because the one thing you do know, the home team, the Lakers, the crowd, they're anticipating a big night for you. You're anticipating a big night for you. The Mavericks are trying to stop you there, but you still have a lot of emotion going through. Like, man, that's a team that drafted me, played so many years, had so many fond memories. Now I'm on the opposite side. How's that going to feel? So the ultimate goal was achieved. 107-99. The Lakers got the victory, a triple-double for Luka Doncic, and you move on with the rest of your NBA season where now maybe he can take that deep breath and go, okay, the trade is real. I'm here. Played the Mavericks. We're winning basketball games. Let's move forward.
There were so many aspects of that trade for the 25-year-old superstar in Luka Doncic. If you take Dallas at their word, they were concerned about his conditioning, his fitness level, and perhaps if he would sign that Supermax extension to remain in Big D. If you take Luka for his word, he expected to be a Maverick for the entirety of his NBA career. From Slovenia, his only experience in the States in Dallas. He probably wanted to remain a part of this franchise, outside of probably some ill feelings toward Nico Harrison and others in that front office, like Michael Finley, who took his beer in celebration after winning a Western Conference crown last postseason. I don't think Luka Doncic probably hates Dallas or hates the Mavericks as an organization, or certainly hates his teammates that he was playing with just about a month and a half ago. I think Luka probably wanted to stay in Dallas, so it had to be a weird split of emotions last night. Thrilled to perform well, thrilled to pull off a triple-double, and most importantly, a victory for the Lakers, trying to stay in that four spot in the Western Conference standings. But don't take it from Donnie or me. Here's what Luka Doncic had to say after the game, his first against his former team.
Luka, how did you just handle the emotions of the day playing against your former team?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know. This is so weird, the moments. Felt like I don't know what I was doing, and I'm glad we got the win.
He also said after the game, DRS, he is glad it is over. His first return to Dallas will be another interesting animal in itself and that atmosphere. Luka hasn't been great so far as a Laker. His best game on Saturday night, 32 points, 10 boards, 7 dimes, and an upset victory at altitude against the Nuggets. Again, last night, not all that efficient. Got off to a great scoring start and then kind of cooled off down the stretch, but did everything else. And again, when you can post a triple-double and your team gets a victory, make that 13 wins in their last 16, by the way, for the Lakers, that's always going to be a successful night.
It is a successful night. And again, you saw probably the drain of emotion at the end where he's probably gotten asked for weeks here. Wait till you play the Mavericks. Can't wait to play the Mavericks. Can't wait to see what you're going to do against them. And the game finally came and they won. Would have been probably a different press conference. It was 107-99 for the Dallas Mavericks, but it wasn't. The Lakers just asking him to win basketball games. A triple-double, you'll take that. Should he have wanted to go out and score 35, 20, and 10? Of course you would have, but you'll take that game plan. He just hasn't found his shooting touch all that much just yet for the Lakers, but eventually that's going to come. He's not a career guy that shoots 6 of 17 from the game. He's usually pretty efficient from the floor at that point. But looking at the Dallas Mavericks also from this game, Kyrie Irving dropped 35 points and Klay Thompson went 5 of 10 from 3-point range, and they still lost. Why? They don't have enough firepower because the guy they traded for, Anthony Davis, wasn't available. Wish Anthony Davis was available last night, because that would have had all the emotion and all the feels from both sides.
He got a nice reception, did AD, early on in the opening quarter from that L.A. crowd. Again, no bad blood between Anthony Davis and the Lakers, you would assume, either. The Lakers have won 13 of their last 16 games. They have covered in 11 of those 13 wins. Dallas has been an underdog 8 times in the 10 games since the blockbuster deal that sent Luka Doncic to L.A. They have covered 6 times in those 8 games as a dog, often been shorthanded, especially now without Anthony Davis. Kyrie Irving, the game's leading scorer with 35 points. LeBron James, at the age of 40, still getting it done, 27 points, 12 boards last night. And Donnie, we talked about this, and we'll look at Houston's game yesterday against Milwaukee. But the Lakers trying to hold off the Rockets at this moment for that 4 spot in what could be the playoff series that we see in the opening round, that 4-5 matchup. The Lakers would have home floor right now. Some advantages in front of Houston. The Rockets have one more win, but also one more loss. So all of these games down the stretch, all of the atmosphere surrounding Luka Doncic, how he will perform now as a Laker, that's of course going to be a part of the conversation. But the Lakers just trying to win games to better their positioning in the postseason.
Exactly. And then once you get to the postseason, an aging veteran team here led by LeBron James, you get the extra days rest in between. You just got to get there healthy, and things are going well here for the Los Angeles Lakers. And also understand this, you're going to get better efforts here out of Doncic as he plays himself continually back into shape. And once he finds that scoring touch that can really open up the court itself. So maybe there are some brighter times ahead, but that is an interesting matchup if it is Lakers and Rockets. That's a good one.
What? Yeah, we'll talk about the Rockets last night at home in H-Town against the Bucks. We'll talk about the highest scoring game this season in the NBA last night in the Grind City. All of that up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, a 7-game slate around the association on a Tuesday. We recap it all on this Wednesday morning. Highest scoring game of the NBA season last night in Memphis. 299 points combined between the Grizzlies and the Suns. An overtime thriller, a back and forth game really all night long. It just ends up that Memphis had 3 more points than that of Phoenix. 151-148, the victory for the Grizz. The Suns, the worst cover team in the association entering yesterday, do pick up a cover as a 7.5-point road underdog. Nearly 300 points combined between these two sides, DRS, and the Grizzlies do get a victory over Phoenix.
Shout out the Suns. Kevin Durant played 20, scored 26 points in 43 minutes. Bradley Beal, 24 points in 43 minutes. Devin Booker, 28 points in 35 minutes. And off the bench, one of your veteran guys, Grayson Allen, 30 minutes and 21 points. And you still lost that basketball game. It's crazy that we talk about the Phoenix Suns now sitting at 27 and 31, Ben, on the season and say, hey, how about that moral victory last night? Went on the road, lost to a good Memphis team. Maybe we can rekindle that spirit once we get back home. Nonsense here. When you play games like what is left in the tank for Phoenix? When I just told you their big three starters and their one good player off the bench all had very good nights last night and you still lost because you don't defend anybody, that's an issue. Yeah. That's a problem. That's why we can't trust the Phoenix Suns. Solid win for Memphis. I actually thought they would win and cover this game. And if you would have told me before the game they dropped 151 points, I would probably say, boy, they probably won by 35 going away. But Phoenix was up to the challenge. But again, there is no moral victories in the NBA when your team is laden with superstars, which is what the Phoenix Suns are.
They do get a cover, 20-37 and one against the spread, a cover percentage of 35.1 now. So the only team with a cover percentage worse than 35%, that would be the Philadelphia 76ers. But Donnie is correct. The Suns are not in this to cover big spreads on the road, especially when everybody that they have is healthy and performing relatively well. The Suns are trying to be, if it is all possible, a postseason team in the Western Conference. And with the loss last night, the Suns now trail the Kings by 2.5 games for the 10th and final spot in the Western Conference postseason standings. Of course, that fourth and final position in the play-in tournament. No moral victories. The fact they were even a 7.5-point dog earlier in the day, an 8.5-point spread in favor of the Grizz. That should tell you all you need to know about how disappointing this season has been for Phoenix, because the worst two cover teams in the NBA, DRS, the Suns and the Sixers, both going through it, and both had much higher expectations entering this season. Tight affair last night in Houston in a low-scoring game, but the Rockets do edge out the Bucks 197. Only 27 combined points in the fourth and final quarter. Houston had 15. Milwaukee had 12. That ended up being the difference. And it was a 3.5-point spread in favor of the Rockets. So the Bucks, by that hook, do get a cover last night on the road.
Yeah, depending on where you got it too, right? 2.5 all the way up to 4.5 throughout the day. So it just shows that topsy-turvy market that if you picked at just what time you picked it at, you might have found your way a winner or a loser depending on which way you went. But I thought the Houston Rockets were able to win this game by 5+ points. They didn't. It was a tied game coming into the fourth quarter. And how about the fourth quarter? It was 15-12 Houston. What an ugly 27 total point quarter. Because if you were an overbacker in this game, first quarter, 30-25, you'll take it. 34-27 a second. And away we go, 28-27. Which is even a bad third quarter, and then the bottom fell out in the fourth quarter overall. But this is a young team learning how to win in Houston, 36-22. The Bucks do have some star power, but I haven't figured it out quite frankly this year at 32-25. But I thought the Rockets would win. They did. And again, depending on when you got that spread, you were a winner or a loser yesterday. So there you go.
Both teams in their respective five spots in their conference standings. Milwaukee looking up at Indiana by a half game. The Rockets technically do not trail the Lakers by a game differential. They have one more win, but also one more loss than that of LA. Some tiebreakers right now favor the Lakers to be the home team in what would be an opening round playoff series. For Houston, DRS, important to start to build that momentum again down this stretch run near the end of January. On January 28th, the Rockets were 32-14 straight up, second best record around the Western Conference. It's when I bet Houston to win the Western Conference crown entering last night. They had dropped 8 of their last 11, so just important to get back into the win column. Either a cover if you got the 2.5 or a Bucks cover if you had the 3.5 or 4.5 earlier in the day. Let's go out to the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. Surprise, surprise, the Cavs on another win streak. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
3 of the 4 longest win streaks in the NBA's Eastern Conference this year belong to one team. And it would make sense that that team then has the best overall record in all of the association. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Donnie, it's not just that they are winning games and continue to stack up the victories. It's how they continue to do just that. A 40-point win on the road last night in Orlando against the Magic team, trying to find its footing in the top spot in the Eastern Conference play in tournament standings at this moment. 122-82. The victory for the Cavaliers. They easily cover as a 7.5-point road favorite, winning by 40, and now make it 8 wins in a row for the Cavs. The overall record for Cleveland this season, 48-10. Cleveland is the best in the NBA at a variety of things. Best record, best cover team in the NBA, now 38-19-1 against the spread. They have played to the most overs as well, but last night did stay under because they held the Magic to only 82 points.
Yeah, they were a heavy favorite yesterday. Of course, we thought the Cavaliers would probably win because I do think they're one of the best teams, if not the best right now in the NBA. And record also says that at 48-10. But I thought this game would stay under the total. It wasn't even a high one. You see routinely 225s, 235s, 245s at this point. We were under 220. And I just thought the process of the Orlando Magic going, we're going to get into a shootout with Cleveland, probably not going to be the case. And it wasn't. They only scored 82 total points, which included two quarters, bookending from the first quarter to the fourth quarter of only 16 points. That shows the Cleveland Cavaliers being absolutely locked in. Are we loving the Orlando Magic as if they're going to make a run in the Eastern Conference? No, but they're still a quality basketball team that will be in the playoffs. And to go on the road, you know, in a February game, which we should beat them where all the basketball's out there, to win by 40 going away and do it in that impressive fashion where you hold the Magic at home to only 82 points, that's incredible.
That's been the thing for the Magic this year. Their offense not great. They're pretty sound defensively. 122 points against Cleveland might say otherwise, but it is why the Magic have played the most unders in the NBA this season. Now 38. Cleveland has played the most overs in the NBA still. Now also 38. The only two teams entering yesterday, Donnie, in those respective marks that had played more than 35 games to the over this year, that would be the Cavaliers. More than 35 games to the under this year, that would be the Magic. But Cleveland now winners of 8 in a row. 48-10. 3 of the 4 longest win streaks by an Eastern Conference club all season long. I believe they're high 17 consecutive victories early on this season. Cleveland, Donnie, at a certain point, you're going to have to start changing your estimation for this Cavs team, who has been the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference each of the past 2 playoffs. They haven't really done much with it. A second round exit a year ago against the Celtics. But if these two teams were to play each other once again this year, Cleveland's going to be in that top spot, despite the fact that Boston is also on a lengthy win streak at this moment. Make it 6 straight for the reigning NBA champs and a double-digit victory yesterday up in the 6, 111-101, but booked as an 11-point road favorite in Toronto. They did not cover. The Raptors did.
Yeah, I thought this game would go over, actually. It had a pretty good start to it. 35-24 first quarter, 31-30 second quarter. Then the bottom fell out, particularly on offense for both sides. 23-22 for the Boston Celtics, respectively, and then 22-25 for the third quarter and fourth quarter for the Toronto Raptors. But understand this. Like, Boston is really good. Porzingis didn't play in that game, so one of their key cogs was out. It doesn't matter. Yep. They have firepower from every single position, which includes the bench, which Peyton Pritchard maybe have the best job in sports, where no matter if they're playing well, he gets his minutes and he can jack up threes. If it's a blowout game, he gets to come in and jack up his threes. He ends up scoring 20 points off the bench, which is great. But having said that, look at the Celtics' overall record. It's 42-16. We talk so much about the Cavaliers, and rightfully so, as one of the best teams in the NBA, best record, and phenomenal at home. Did you know the Boston Celtics actually have a better road record than home record? So that's going to be a fun series if it gets to it when it's Cleveland and Boston saying, hey, Boston, not at home, on the road, look at their record. Hey, Cleveland, not on the road, at home, look at their record. That is setting up to be an unbelievable matchup if we do see it in the Eastern Conference.
24-6 straight up for Boston away from being down this year. The best road record in all of the NBA. Donnie, only 3 teams around the association have at least 40 wins so far this year. It would be Boston, at 42-16. The Cavs with the best record in the NBA at 48-10. And on the other side, Oklahoma City at 46-11. It is almost funny, right? The Celtics have won six straight. They have the second best record in the Eastern Conference. They are one of those three teams at 40 wins or more this year. And we're still like, eh. They've been a little bit underwhelming based on our preseason expectation, but that has been the expectation all year for the reigning NBA champs, because even very early on in the summer, it was Boston and then everybody else out east. And right now, it is still Boston and everybody else out east, despite the fact that Cleveland has a better record. And when you look at the standings, a six-game lead over the Seas for that number one spot. I wonder if that starts to change at all as we approach the postseason. I'm not sure it's going to, Donnie, because the price on the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference Championship continues to get stronger and stronger into minus money. It feels each and every day, each and every week.
Yeah, exactly. And the one sport that is a little bit different than others is we don't take much attention to the regular season. Now, granted, you're seeing how good the Cavaliers and the Celtics are, and they're the favorites. Now, they say, oh, we'll just put them down way low because we don't think they can win. But that minus 160 is crazy when you take a look at another team that is going to be the one seed, has played you well this season, and is putting up phenomenal numbers against everybody in the NBA. It's not as if they're like, hey, you know what? We just beat up on the teams under 500 and struggle like we're the New York Knicks playing against that upper crust competition. The Cavaliers are very good all the way around. So for me, again, just puzzling to see a 7-1 price on a team three quarters of the way through the NBA season that has the best record and playing great basketball. And everybody's like, once the playoff gets there, you know what's going to happen. Boston's going to take control, regardless if they have home court advantage or not.
Well, I think what you could say right now, it certainly presents some value on the Cavs because they will have home floor advantage if these two teams do meet up in a potential Eastern Conference Finals. And it feels like we are on track for that. The Knicks, a length behind both of these teams and can't beat either of these teams. Can Milwaukee turn things around? Maybe, but it kind of feels like they are faltering on expectation. The Pistons, a great story. We're not expecting much in the Eastern Conference postseason. The Pacers, who upset the Knicks in Game 7, made the ECF a year ago and are currently the 4 seed, we're still not looking at Indiana as a true contender in the Eastern Conference. So that's where things stand in the NBA. A 9-game slate tonight. We will break down for you a little bit later on this Wednesday, but let's dive right in to some college basketball in a big, big upset last night in Athens. As a home dog, the dogs go barking. Georgia knocks off number 3 Florida 88-83, winning outright as a 6.5-point home underdog. If I just were to tell you that, you would think what a great time it was in Athens last night. Not so fast. Georgia was up by as many as 26 points. Florida rallied all the way to take a late lead with just over a minute remaining in regulation before Blue Kane and Georgia had the answer to seal the upset victory over the number 3 team in the country. A huge resume boost, DRS, for Georgia in terms of their hopes of getting into the NCAA tournament.
How do you pull off upsets here, specifically when you're not expected to beat a team like the Florida Gators playing great basketball, maybe on the one line? How about just using the three-point shot as your equalizer? 56% from the floor from three-point range here for the Georgia Bulldogs, 10 of 18. How about 54% from the floor as a team? How about 81% from the free throw line? Use it all to your advantage yesterday. And still with that, you didn't even have a lead in the final minute of the game, but you rescued yourself back. A monster win for the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't want to say it's a bad loss for the Gators, but just the way they played opening up the game, it looks like it was setting up for a terrible loss, and they did fight back but still came up the losers.
We'll talk a little bit more about the SEC standings, what this means for Florida in that hunt for a one seed in the big dance, and if another conference foe might have made up some ground last night. Plenty more around college hoops next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A huge upset in the SEC and maybe across the national landscape as it pertains to the one line in the NCAA men's tournament in that field of 68, about 2.5 weeks away from Selection Sunday. Georgia at the very end holds off Florida 88-83, winning outright as a 6.5 point underdog. Here are the March implications. 4-6 game winning streak comes to a close. They had covered in all six, still the best cover team in the SEC all year long, 20-8 against the spread. But DRS, the dogs yesterday needed to perform as a dog because in their last eight in SEC play as an underdog, 0-8 straight up, just 2-6 against the number. So the outright victory, monumental. Mike White's UGA team against his former club in Florida, now 17-11 straight up. All 11 of those L's in quad one games. Their third quad one victory for a Georgia team yesterday, as we were breaking down the bracketology, was that who was on the outside looking in the next four out. That win could mean a ton for their dancing hopes in just a few weeks.
Yeah, and also you're playing on a night-to-night basis, as you said. Just about every game is a quad one for you. You pick up one or two victories here, maybe win two games in the SEC tournament where you don't even have to make a run to get into the finals of that, and you might find yourself in. And talking about how talented that conference is, 16 total teams, 13 expected to get in, and then maybe Georgia crashes that party again. It is a wild season for the SEC, yeah. Which means let's see if there's any attrition heading into March Madness, or was all that competition very good for the SEC teams?
You know, DRS, it is interesting, right? We have said there are no nights off in SEC play. That 6.5-point spread just being 6.5 only in favor of Florida, who was on an absolute roll, felt a little bit sketchy. It turned out that indeed it was. Does it knock Florida off the one line to lose as a road favorite against this Georgia team that could be in the tournament or might be on the wrong side of the bubble? We shall see. Florida will have many more opportunities to bolster the resume as well to remain on that one line. But Alabama making a run to the one line as well. One of the best handicaps I've had all year. Line opened up 8.5 points in favor of the Crimson Tide. Total at 169.5. I bet them both, and Alabama made me feel very smart last night. 111-73, the victory for the Crimson Tide at home against the Mississippi State team, as I shared yesterday, should no longer be ranked in the top 25. But Alabama, big home victory by nearly 40, easily covering as an 8.5-point favorite. Donnie, that total yesterday closed closer to 174.5, and it still found its way over.
Yeah, it really did, and that's because Alabama, we talked about it yesterday on the handicap, the matchup was great. Like, no longer is this Mississippi State defense, hey, let's really slow it down on offense and play great defense and hold on. It's, all right, we'll let you shoot the three-point shot, and if you like it and you make a lot of it, we can't do anything about it. How about in college basketball? Felt like an NBA performance last night for the Crimson Tide. Yeah. 22-45, not from the field, Ben. From the three-point line, which they made 49% of those three-point shots, 15 of 18 from the free throw line for 83%, shot 52% as a team. And when you shoot 52% as a team and you play at the best tempo in college basketball, you are going to do absolute damage to that scoreboard. And they did that last night. It wasn't a surprise to us that Alabama rolled with over 100 points.
The Bulldogs have lost 8 of their last 13 games after starting 14-1. Chris Jans's team, not exactly that defensive stalwart that we have seen in years past. They've also only covered 3 times in their last 13 games. Alabama, now 12-3 straight up in the SEC, 10-5 against the number. They trail their bitter rivals, who they will end the regular season against, that being Auburn, by 1.5 in the standings. But of course, the Tigers taking the first matchup between the two this year in Tuscaloosa. Auburn in action tonight, double-digit home favorite against an Ole Miss team that fell out of the AP poll this past week. Not only an upset in SEC play, we head out to Stillwater and the Big 12. Iowa State has been really banged up in the last 3 weeks, which of course is not what you want to solidify your March resume. If they get healthy for the big dance, keep an eye on the Cyclones. But right now, without Keyshawn Gilbert in the fold, it's been tough sledding. The number 9 team in the country loses to Oklahoma State last night on the road. Oklahoma State, who was about a 9.5-point home dog, does win outright 74-68.
Yeah, bad loss, and it is a bad loss. But also, these are the type of teams in that conference that has been pointed out. They're not healthy right now. They're losing basketball games. Their price is dropping here, and maybe a great buy-on opportunity because you're trying to focus similar to what we look at in the NBA. It's not like, oh, we don't think Iowa State's going to get into the tournament. No, they're getting into the tournament. But the focus is, will they be healthy? And if they are in the tournament, what damage they can do? Because if you are looking at the Cyclones and say, you know what? I want a better price. You don't want to win these basketball games. They're already going to get into the tournament. You just want them to be healthy and say, I saw them at their highest capabilities. That's a good basketball team. And now the price point might move $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 in your direction. That's what you'll take at that point.
I bet them to make the Final Four really early on this year, loving what I was seeing out of the Cyclones. Mm-hmm. The price is now longer. It's +420. It's still one of the 10 best numbers around all of college basketball. It's just been tough sledding for the Clones, where what they are in danger of right now is dropping down the seed line. They have lost half of their games in this month of February, but if Keyshawn Gilbert gets back, Curtis Jones was back in the lineup last night, they could be in a much better spot. No issues right now, DRS for Duke. 23.5-point road favorite in Coral Gables last night against a bad Miami team, and the Dukies roll 97-60, easily covering. After beating Illinois by 43 inside Madison Square Garden, they back that up with a 37-point win in South Florida.
Yeah, and by the way, Miami's going to spend a lot of NIL money next year restoring that program here, getting some players in there, and also a new head coach, which might be coming from the sideline of the Duke Blue Devils. Got a good look at that offense in Miami yesterday as they dropped 97 in a laugher all the way through. Miami, one of the worst defenses in college basketball, played right up to that stereotype yesterday.
Jay Lucas on the bench for John Shire, looking at the other side and saying, boys, we got some work to do when I get here. Hopefully not until about the middle of April after Duke, as the odds would project right now, make a run to the NCAA tournament's Final Four and perhaps a national championship game. More scores from college basketball and what it all means as we near the month of March. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's round out this opening hour by looking back on a huge Tuesday night in college basketball here on a Wednesday morning on the Early Line. Tennessee got a test last night in the Bayou against LSU. The Volunteers were a double-digit favorite, laying 10.5 on the road. Close in the opening half, close in the latter half of the second half as well. But Tennessee does get a road victory, 65-59. Total of 138.5 against one of the best defensive teams in the country. That would be the Volunteers. Does stay under. Still a win for Tennessee. Louisville trying to stay within striking distance of Duke in the ACC. Again, a narrow road win last night in Blacksburg against Va Tech, 71-66. Virginia Tech, the Hokies do cover as a 9.5, 10.5 point home underdog. And a couple of big games, the RS in the Mountain West, in the West Coast Conference with NCAA tournament implications. San Diego State should be comfortably into the big dance right now, but a big opportunity last night at home against New Mexico. And Richard Pitino, the Aztecs take advantage, winning 73-65, covering as a short 2.5 point home favorite. Santa Clara was getting 6.5 at home against Gonzaga. The Zags not going to win the WCC. That will be St. Mary's by themselves for the second consecutive year. But the Zags, big, big victory against the Broncos, 95-76, covering as a 6.5 point road favorite.
Yeah, people were looking at that Santa Clara game as it might be obviously closer than that final score predicted, which it certainly was. And so Gonzaga is showing that might, but also that San Diego State-New Mexico game. We talked about it yesterday. Very good defensive teams on both sides here. That game stayed under the total. Louisville usually shoots a little bit better than it did yesterday, but they'd escape Virginia Tech. My guy Rain, not really raining from three-point land last night. We've only made one three-point shot there, so tough scene around it. But you are going to get some of these closer games all the way through as we take a look at your boys from Wisconsin with an offensive Hey, there we go. Back at 88 points here with an easy victory and a bounce back performance against Washington. So some good things all the way through the landscape last night, just setting up against the stage. We have to remind ourselves, it's 2/26 right now. That's February 26th. Friday is the last day of February. And away we go. Like when you wake up on that Monday morning, you're not on March 1 or 2. You're already on March 3rd at that point, expecting great conference play to begin with some of these conference championships. These teams right now just jockeying for position, trying to line up that resume to get in.
DRS, a couple of teams around the Big Ten and the Big East that needed a bounce back and booked as hefty favorites do exactly that. Wisconsin at home after blowing a 17-point lead against Oregon on Saturday and losing in OT. Hammer Washington, 88-62. The Badgers easily covering as a 15.5-point favorite. How about the Illini after getting run out the gym in the Garden by 43 back home in Champaign? They knock off Iowa. The Hawkeyes mightily struggling this year. 81-61, the victory for Illinois. They cover as a 10.5-point home favorite. And Marquette has not played great basketball in the last few weeks. They have lost four of their last six. They were a 12.5-point favorite yesterday at home against Providence. Shaka Smart and the Golden Eagles win by 30, 82-52. In Missouri, who lost to Arkansas over the weekend, huge victory for the Hogs and John Calipari trying to make that run to the big dance. Mizzou bounces back over in four straight, DRS. And in their two midweek games, now the last 2 weeks, 110 against Alabama, 101 last night at home against South Carolina, winning by 30.
Yeah, maybe Dawn Staley should take over both the men's and the women's programs at South Carolina. 1-14 in conference play. Say it ain't so, but also hitting the century mark were the Missouri Tigers last night. Just look at the box score. 58% from three-point range, 64% from the floor, 84% here from the free throw line. And then you take a look at South Carolina. What do they do? 2-for-23 from three-point range. Just throwing up prayers all night that certainly weren't answered here, but they did get to the free throw line. But an easy victory for Missouri and another, that top shelf SEC type programs here. Look, we do see the 1-14 South Carolinas, but boy, there are so many good teams in the SEC on a night-to-night basis.
Keep an eye on Dennis Gates and the Tigers. One of the best stories this year in college basketball. 0-19 last year in the SEC, including their only game in the conference tournament. They are looking to go 0-4 winless, and now they have 10 victories, a 10-5 record in the gauntlet of a conference that is the SEC. Incredibly remarkable. And Mizzou has been the best cover team in conference action within the SEC this year. Now 12-3 against the spread. Incredibly efficient offensively. Sixth most efficient. They take good shots. They make good shots. It has been the recipe for Missouri this season. All right, that does it for hour number one. Hour number two, it's Donnie's favorite week of the year. We head to Indianapolis for NFL Combine Week. Not so much a draft evaluation, but what everybody around the NFL had to say. Next.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.